Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We have a hell of a show for you today. You know, when you think of Invicta Fighting Championships, you think of the most tremendous aspects in the sport for women. You know, 96% of the women that fight in Invicta end up in the UFC because of the talent, the magnitude, the matchmaking of the promotion. Phoenix 1 was a tremendous eight-woman tournament. Now we're going into Phoenix 2, and I got to tell you, this card is stacked. The fighters are tremendous, and, you know, it's an honor to have one of the most tremendous coaches in the country today, Colin Oyama, from Team Oyama. And I know I'm going to probably mess her name up, but Honey Spirit Tahiti, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
It's truly an honor to get you on here. You know, what does this opportunity feel like for you and Invicta? What, you know, when you got that call, what came to mind and to heart, and how do you feel about going into the fight tomorrow?
Well, actually, when we got the call, we were in Big Bear Lake, so I was pretty much over there for help out for Carla's training camp because she's gonna go to UFC Mexico soon. So I was not expecting to have a fight coming up, but I always feel like Coach Oyama say, you know, you have to be ready anytime something can come up, and it actually came up. And so I asked Coach, what are we doing? Do we take the fight? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I got super excited really, really quick, you know, about it, especially because it's Invicta. I always wanted to have a shot in Invicta, and it finally happened.
Yeah, it's a tremendous opportunity. You know, I look back to Phoenix Rising, the first event, and you had little Brianna Van Buren, who was 3-1, who was not fitted to win the show, and she came out with a belt only a week later to be called up to the UFC. So dreams do happen through Invicta, and it's a tremendous opportunity for you. You know, Coach Oyama, what did you see in the aspects of Hani that led you to bring her into Team Oyama? Because I know it's an aspect of you that is very near and dear to you. You care about it. Every one of your fighters is family. So what was the correlation that brought you two together?
I think somebody that had a hard-nosed attitude and didn't require babysitting. I don't do too well with the whole babysitting thing, so I gotta babysit somebody. I'm over it. But you know, she's a survivor. I mean, she's a military veteran. You know, and she's had a good amateur boxing career, and she just had a lot of aspects that I thought would blend in well with the rest of our crew. And yeah, it's worked out really well.
You know, oh, you're all over the place anymore. You know, I'm going to kind of blow your head up for a second, Coach, you know, because my show jumps everywhere, because I like to show a true reflection of who you are. You're a humble man in your walk with great integrity, but what does it mean to have Team Oyama shining in the sport in the way they are now? All of your athletes are performing in every promotions, most of them the top promotions in the world. What does it mean to see your dream finally come to apparition in some aspects?
I think for me personally, just something I've always done, so it's not really that big a deal for me. I think I get a better kick out of seeing some of these guys come from nowhere, you know, guys and gals, or, you know, people like a lot of people that, you know, society might look on differently or feel like, ah, these guys can't do anything. It's just, hey, man, maybe they just haven't found their niche, you know. So it's kind of nice to see these guys work their way up and get to the big show and upon retiring, you know, making a successful life for themselves after fighting too. So it's the whole journey, man. It's been a good ride. It's been 24 years. But it's nice seeing some of these guys come back and seeing some of these younger guys aspire to be where some of these guys before them have been. And it's a cyclical thing, but it's an adventure, man.
Yeah.
It's been a fun one.
Yeah, you know, I got to agree with you. I've been in the sport for 24 years, and, you know, I'm kind of getting up there in age. I'm in my mid-50s, and I tell you, after a fight, it's not that easy to get up anymore. So I don't even know how you do it. You know, the reference that you just made, and I'm going to get to you in a second, honey, because I got some really neat stuff I want to ask you about. But, you know, there's a young gentleman that we all know of, Jared Gordon. You know, I had him on my show when he won the CFFC world title. He didn't want to talk about his belt. You know, and that's where the correlation comes in, because you said you like the kind of outcast coach, the people that other people don't think can do it or succeed. You know, Jared Gordon said, you know, I don't care about the belt. 18 months ago, I want to talk about that, when I was strung out on heroin, when I was strung out on crack, and I was sitting in rehab. He said, I taught myself that if you're at the bottom of the barrel, not only can you find your way out, but you can still live those dreams that you had as a child. So when you hear a champion of the sport make that type of statement, as a coach, how does it make you feel about that warrior and the sport?
I guess I got a little different take on that. I mean, I'm glad that it worked out for him. I think along my career, I've had a lot of guys like that. Some become success stories like he does. Some just don't pan out to anything. So it's kind of tough. I think I'm a pretty stubborn guy. And in the past, you know, you try and stick with people no matter what. And eventually they can end up doing more harm than good to everyone around you. So that's kind of a touchy subject there. I think how long you stick with somebody versus, you know, when you know when to cut ties. Some guys, I'm glad we stuck it out. They've done well. Others, it's just a constant repeat of drama to where it's like, hey, man, you become a bigger detriment to the team. I think I've changed a lot over the past 5 years or so, where I've gone away from the reclamation projects individually and tried to take a more team-oriented aspect to where it's like, hey, you know, we got 15 guys and gals trying to make it somewhere. And in the past, you know, I might be a little bit more stubborn about trying to save one, but I'm not going to save one at the expense of the other 14. I think in the past, sometimes it's kind of hard to differentiate that sometimes, but I'm glad it worked out for that guy. But the way I look at it now, you know, we have a lot of people here trying to get somewhere, and I look at it, it's my job to get them all there. So if I got to cut one cancer out, I'm going to do it.
Most definitely, Coach. You know, honey, you made a statement, and pardon my French, because you're French Polynesian, but it's a standard, for, you know, paraphrase in the States, but pardon my language, but you made a statement that says, no fucking excuses. Work hard every day to follow your dream and fight for it. What does that statement truly mean to you going into this tournament?
Well, you know, I've been like, I had like a, I'm not going to say like a comfortable lifestyle, but I was in the military. I had a career like opened up to me. I could have been very far in the army. And the point is that, you know, I was ready to make a sacrifice to live my dream, because I felt like that's what I was made for. And that's what I really wanted inside my heart and inside my gut. So I knew it was actually a very scary decision to make at this time, because I was basically losing everything I had, you know, my comfort, my money, everything, you know, but I had to live far away from my house in a foreign country where it's not my language, and I had with a bunch of assholes. Not all of them, but sometimes. And you know, but I knew that's what I needed to get where I want to be, and I was ready to make all the sacrifices that was needed to be made to get it. And I decided to do it. And since I've been with Coach Oyama, I really felt like I'm in the right place, because the work ethic of Coach Oyama and of Team Oyama in general matched perfectly with mine. That was exactly what I was searching for. And that's why I chose Team Oyama, you know, because I had other opportunities in other gyms. But when I came here, I felt like that's the right coach for me, because I'm someone who's very professional, and I felt like Coach Oyama was very professional. And I felt that he was doing what he's doing because he loves it. And for me, that I saw that right away, and I was like, damn, that's the coach I need. So
yeah,
I'm willing on putting all the sacrifices and efforts that, you know, match to the sacrifices and efforts he's making for us, because he's doing a lot for us.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you could have said it more better. I love Coach Oyama. He's probably going to say, "Don, shut up." But, you know, I really do, you know, because he's real. He's transparent. He's straightforward about aspects of life. You know, there's a certain part of you that I don't know inspired me. You want to see the growth of others. You want to see other people succeed, you know, in certain aspects. And even if it's not through you, you want to see the youth and other aspects succeed in life. What instilled that in you as you became a young warrior, not only in boxing, but in kung fu?
I don't know. I just followed what I was feeling inside me. That's the only thing I can tell, you know. And it's weird. Like, sometimes a lot of people ask me why I want to fight, because I don't really have, like, any fighters in my family. But to be honest, I just like fighting. I always loved it. I always, when I was a kid, I always got in fights. And when I started to do martial arts, it's actually what canalized more my energy and my temper. Because I was really a shitty kid. Like, I was a bad kid, and growing up, I was really, I can say, an asshole. And that's why, like, when I decided to get in the army, like, people told me, you will never make it, because they're going to kick your ass out. And it's actually what actually I needed, I think, because it gave me that, I don't know how to say it, but, like, discipline, and it forced me to shut the fuck up when I had to shut the fuck up. And I think that's why now I'm the point where I'm at in my life, I'm able to do what I'm doing. Because maybe if I started to do that, I don't know, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to keep up with it. But now I can, because I have this maturity and this expanse of life in general. But also, you know, in sports, and it gave me a lot, brought a lot on the table, and that's why now I think I'm able to keep up with all that.
Yeah. Tremendous. Coach, this was a last-minute decision, last-minute fight, getting into Invicta. How do you prepare, Hani, for such a quick, you know, turn around into this aspect, into Invicta? You know, I know she's already fight ready because she's with Team Oyama, but how do you transition that aspect of such a quick turnaround for into Invicta? What do you imply, or is it just a everyday as normal going into this fight?
Well, I think, you know, like she had mentioned earlier, she was part of a training camp already. We have something planned for Mexico City, so we're up at elevation at Big Bear anyway. So Carla was full speed ahead for her flight, so we brought Flo up there along with Brittany Cloudy up there to give her some training. And we had other guys that needed training, so they were all up there. And I train her all year round. I mean, she goes home for a period of time to see her family. But other than that, she's in California with me, and we pretty much train, you know, 6 days a week. So taking a short notice fight, I mean, she was already working out and already training pretty hard. We were running her pretty hard up in the mountains. So I wasn't really worried about the conditioning aspect of it. So, you know, it comes down to a skill-wise. I'm fine with that, too. I mean, she trains against some pretty talented fighters every day. You know, Carla's one of them, female, but we also have a bunch of small guys. So, I mean, she's sparring against Alex Perez and Louis Smolka and all Chito Vera. I mean, these guys are on the UFC, so she's dealing with UFC caliber guys on a daily basis. And so, you know, taking on another female last minute to me is just, it can't be any worse than she deals with on a daily basis, you know? So, I didn't really look at it as much of a big jump. It was more like it really was an opportunity to me, more than a gamble, you know? And I felt like, hey, this makes sense. Yeah,
it makes absolute sense. I was happy to see a transition, actually. You know, I've seen Chantel Coates fight before. You know, I don't think she's prepared for the 360 that's coming from Juhani. I think that what you bring to the sport is different. And I think with what coaches invoked in you and developed in you is going to help you get through this aspect come tomorrow night. You know, what was it like for Juhani to have Invicta and have Shannon Knapp reach out to you and give you this opportunity?
I felt really honored and very grateful because Invicta is not any promotion. That's actually the watching as a boxer back when I was just boxing. You know, a lot of boxers think that MMA is shit. They don't like it. And it's basically because mostly they don't understand the technical aspect of it. But I started to watch MMA, honestly, because Invicta was there. And it was for me the opportunity to watch some female fights because boxing never promotes female fights on pay-per-view cards. So I started to watch MMA because of Invicta. And that's how, you know, like I saw some rising stars like Chris Cyborg or Carla Esparza. And I was like, damn, actually this sport, like, is really interesting me. And that's how I started to do MMA. So Invicta is not any promotion for me.
Yeah, it's tremendous. You know, one thing I love about Invicta and I love about Shannon Knapp, it kind of correlates with, like, Bellator to me. It's family. You know, you go there, it's relaxed, it's laid back. They treat their fighters well, so You're gonna have a tremendous opportunity. You're gonna have tremendous fun come tomorrow night. You know, you look at Chantel Coates. She's a different aspect of a fighter. I believe she's actually from the West Coast. Also, I think she might be from the Stockton area. I could be wrong, but you know, her striking ability is pretty good. Her ground game is all right. I've shot many of her fights. You know, what is it that you put in your heart and in your head when you know you're going to go into a war with a striker?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be good for a good, it's going to look good about the striking aspect of the fight, definitely. I actually, you know, I feel like secure about it because basically striking is all I've been doing for years. You know, it doesn't shock me, and you know, I'm like I would say, like I train every day, all day. Like I'm ready for that, no matter what type of fighter it is, or you know, that's my job, and I'm ready for any type of fight or any type of fighter. So Chantel's just another one, you know. That's it.
I like that. You know, it's tremendous, too, because there's also another fighter in the tournament that you actually had fought before.
Yep.
Pardon me.
Yep. Victoria.
And that being Victoria Leonardo Mason, yeah.
Yep.
And so, I mean, and you beat her. So the thing of it is, it's a tremendous...
That was a very close fight, to be honest with you. Like, it could have gone either way. But what made the difference was that in the last round, like when she tried to take me down, I reversed her and took her against the cage. So that's what made me win the fight. But that was a tough fight. Like, Victoria's really tough. But that was a good fight.
Oh, yeah, it was a very good fight. You're a tremendous warrior. And Coach Oyama, I'm so honored you brought her on the show today. Coach, I want to ask you a couple questions, if you don't mind. You know, I know you deal with the top athletes in the world, you know, and here it is, Hani's opportunity, you know, and in most opinions would be a big opportunity for her, and you know, being signed and being able to fight in the tournament and Invicta. How do you maintain a fighter's stability thoughts going into this type of aspect, being in a top promotion?
I just, you know, remind them, hey, it's new for them. I've been down this road about a million times.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the fact that she was training with Carla, they were able to exchange, you know, information and stuff. And, you know, Carla's actually been Invicta champ as well. So, you know, they can learn from the people that come before them. And I think some of the veterans that we have do a really good job of talking to the young ones about, hey, look, man, this is what you can expect. From social media buttheads to, you know, fans calling you out to the stresses of, you know, media and photo shoots and all that. And I think we have a good blend in the team of veterans and young people, and they do a pretty good job of, you know, making sure that the young ones stay in line. I feel like, you know, she's ready for the opportunity. I mean, I think it's pretty – if you see how the guys treat her in the gym, I mean, she's more than ready. I mean, they're all over her, you know. Make fun of her.
Oh, yeah. I've had Lewis Smoke on the show before, and if she's, if she's sparring with him, then, yeah, she's ready.
Well, the physical aspect of it, a lot of it's just the mental aspect of it. I mean, these guys will go out of their way to give her a hard time just for the hell of it. But, you know, I think what it does is it just makes you mentally a lot tougher and, you know, you're able to deal with a lot of things. You know, for her, honestly, the fighting part of it's kind of the easy part. You know, it's the preparation part that's harder for her. But, you know, once the gate closes, I'm pretty sure I know what I'm going to get. Actually, I know what I'm going to get. So it's like, she's going to do fine.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Coach. I have the same feeling. You know, I don't know how, because last time it was kind of confusing on how they did the Phoenix Rising now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're an alternate aspect of the eight-woman tournament, correct?
Yeah, we're alternates. I think a lot's got to happen for us to get in. Obviously, there's a submission victory doesn't ensure we're in because, like, if somebody gets submitted, they can still advance if the person that they lost to can't continue, something like that. If they get knocked out, then we can step in for them. Or the doctor deems that the fighter is unable to continue and the replacement person, the person that lost, is unable to continue, then I guess we get in that way. So I'm not really sure we looked at it like as an opportunity to get in the tournament. It was more like, hey, it's an opportunity to get her in front of some of the Invicta brass. And you know, I think when Shannon and her crew get a look at her and watch her throwing some of these bombs, you know, I think they'll like what they see. And, you know, it's more of a chance to plan for the future. You know, I mean, if we get into the tournament, great. You know, would I want to get in it because a bunch of people got hurt and screwed up? No, I don't really want to see that either. But if it happens, it happens. If not, you know, she's going to put on a good show, and we plan on being back either way.
Yeah. See, that's what makes you a tremendous coach. You know, that's I love that answer because it's about your fighter. And You're already certain on every aspect in her walk, in your walk, and that's what makes you a tremendous coach. You know, that's why I've always admired you. You know, I give you a bad time on social media. I like to have a little fun with you because your pictures, and I've even last time I interviewed you, I gave you a bad time because 90% of your pictures are just your forehead or above. But it just shows who you are, man. You're just the guy that wants to give back. I mean, I know the aspects of your life that led you down this road from the first show. And I got to admit, you know, between you and what's his name? I can't even think now. Over there, Mark Montoya at Factory X. You two are my most favorite coaches that I've ever dealt with in the sport. And the reason being
Mark's a good guy, man. Mark's a good guy.
Yeah. You guys put your fighters first. And that's what the sport needs. It needs men like you that will help define a fighter. You know, when you said it doesn't matter if we get into the tournament or not, that right there shows who you are. That character you can't fake, you can't buy. It's instilled in you.
Don't get me wrong. In the beginning, she's going to drop some bombs either way, man. But, you know, I would.
Oh, I ain't getting you wrong.
Breaking their legs so we can get in. You know what I mean? But if she does get in, hey, she's going to be swinging. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, she's going to get in. If it happens anything like Phoenix Rising 1, she's going to get in. Because you only got one-minute rounds in some aspects. So each fighter goes out there and gives it 110%. And when you have that and the time, you know, the round shortened down, you're going to give it your all. And, yeah, she's going to get in. There was a knockout last in the Phoenix Rising 1, and I think there was even a submission. But it's going to happen, trust me. You're going to get into the tournament. You know, hypothetically speaking, honey, let's say you do get into the tournament. I know it really doesn't mean anything to you right now, but you kind of drew a line in the sand, and you said you want to become a UFC champion. So with that being said, you know, everybody, like I stated earlier, they counted Brianna Van Buren out. They said she wasn't even going to get halfway through the tournament, yet she ended up winning. I said she was going to be signed and gone to the UFC the following week. Nobody believed me. Where is she at now? She's in the UFC. So hypothetically speaking, let's say you do get into the tournament, and you do get
the
opportunity. Go ahead.
The tournament will be a great opportunity for me too, you know, getting in. Like, it would give me an opportunity to actually fight against experienced fighters and good fighters, because I've looked up at the girls who were, like, actually in the tournament, and that's pretty good girls. Like, they're, you know, they're legit. So for me, it will be like, I think, a test to see where I'm at, really. And, you know, when it comes to the UFC, like, you know, like Coach Oyama say, you know, yeah, it's where we want to get at one point. But we have to be ready for that, you know. We have to be ready for that. So Coach is not rushing for it. I think he wants to see me succeed first in different, you know, battle tests, battle matches. Yeah, I do. And indeed, you know, if I do it in the tournament, that would be a good opportunity to see how I'm doing against different type of people in a row.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. You know, I love it because the world is yet to see who you are. The world is going to find out tomorrow night. If you had to make a statement to my listeners, to the fans and the followers of Invicta, about what this opportunity and what you plan on bringing to Phoenix Rising 2 would be, what would that statement be, honey?
Well, of course, as an athlete and as a fighter, I want, of course, you want to be seen as someone that can bring something more on the table. But, you know, my goal is really to shine in this fight, you know, and show that, you know, I can give a good show besides being a good fighter. And show that, you know, we give 100% effort all the time, you know, no matter what. That's how Coach Oyama trains us, and that's what needs to be seen in the fight too, because that's how we're trained every day. But it also, for me, being in Invicta also means that I'm sure, you know, I'm representing French Polynesia, which is a huge thing, you know. It's a small island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. People sometimes don't even know where it is or what it is, but being the first professional female fighter coming out of French Polynesia ever. You know, I'm making history pretty much. And I'm proud of it. I'm very proud of it, especially because I know I have a lot of support and a lot of fan base over there back home. So I'm telling you, all the Tahitian people are going to be in front of their TV tomorrow. That's for sure.
I love it because you've already created history and you've started on your legacy. And that's a tremendous aspect. And you're a well-defined boxer. And I love what you bring. I love your attitude. I love that you're with Coach Oyama because although he is humble and comical at times, he is one of the best coaches in the business. What, you know, truly in your heart led you there? Because you have all these opportunities in the world to go to any coach, but what was it about Coach Oyama in particular that made you realize you were home?
Because Coach Oyama, like you say, you know, is humble. And I'm telling you, he's making us humble in the gym because he talks to – what I like about him is, like, he talks to us, like, right away, like, straight, you know. He's talking us with truth. He's always telling truth, you know, to us. And I'm telling you, like, I found in this gym with this coach what I didn't want a coach who was going to be my friend that I'm going to party with or that's going to tell me about his fucking love stories or that's going to know about my private life. No, I wanted a coach who's going to be a coach, who's going to be there for me in the gym. And I'm telling you, as the pro team in Team Oyama, we are super lucky because what we have with Coach Oyama is not happening in every gym, I'm telling you. We have a chance to have a coach who's really here for us. He's in the gym every day with us. Like, I mean, it's a lot of sacrifices as a man. Like, his life is basically all around us, about his fighters. And, you know, I like his work ethic and, you know, he's hard on us, you know. Coach Oyama is really hard because he wants to see us succeed so bad that it's pushing us like 200%. And I liked it. That's what I liked with it in this team and working with him. That's what I wanted.
That's tremendous. That truly is. Cause I think the sport sees it too. He's going to get mad at me for giving him so many compliments on today's show. But, he, you know, Coach, you really are, man. And what's... I think, like I said earlier, the greatest thing about you is that it's just about getting there. And it's more about the fighters than it is about you. And that's a tremendous aspect that you just don't see in the sport anymore, nor in just regular life. You know, Coach, when Honey first came to you, you know, I know I asked you a little retrospective earlier about it, and she wanted to be a part of your team because I know not just anybody can be a part of your team because, like you said earlier, you know, you don't have bullshit. You know, I used to manage fighters, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't have time to babysit people. I don't have time to deal with all of that. But what was it, what is it now, per se, when you look at her? What makes you realize that you made the right decision moving forward, and what do you see in her future?
Well, I think the key for me that I made the right decision is the improvement. I mean, she pretty much came, you know, fairly one-dimensional. And, you know, sometimes people come to the gym and they're one-dimensional. You try and work on some of their weaknesses, and there's a big pushback. I don't want to wrestle. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And for me, once I hear that, it's time for me to, like, hey, you got to go. It's not working out. And a lot of times when people come in with, you know, for example, she had a good boxing background, for example, you try and show them how to kick something. Oh, they don't want to kick, or they don't want to wrestle. That, you know, it's always like, you know, they're afraid to get out of their comfort zone and, you know, get their ass kicked in training because it humbles them, you know, versus in her case, I mean, you know, basically, man, them guys took it to her. Threw her on her ass, put her on her back, and every single day. But she got better at it to where, you know, hey, she's good at doing the same things now, you know, and she's improving that aspect of her game. So the fact that somebody came in with a higher level skill set in one area and is trying to improve the other areas to match that higher level, that's a good sign for me. That means that athlete is heading in the right direction versus somebody that came in with a certain skill set and 2 years later that still they got that same skill set. They've made zero improvements or are unwilling to take chances to learn those new things. And, you know, that's my cue to, like, cut that guy loose or that gal loose. So I think that's what I've seen in her as far as where she's going to go. You know, anything can happen. I just saw the last UFC, obviously, you know, Andrade is a tank and she just got stopped. So, you know, even with smaller girls, you know, now, you know, they're getting stronger. They're getting more technically sound throwing punches. Anything can happen. And, she's a physical specimen. I'll say this about her. She's strong. And she has some physical gifts that I don't believe you can teach in the gym. I think a lot of the Polynesians have some genetic advantages as far as, you know, being strong. I mean, she's a midget Polynesian, but she's still got the strength and stuff. And I think that can take her a long way. She has a physical way of doing things. And I think a lot of the 115ers are going to find that physicality is hard to match when the skill set can back it up as well, you know. So as her skills start to improve and she brings that constant physicality to people, I think a lot of the 115ers are going to be in for a surprise at how really physical she can be, not just in punching, just in all aspects of the fighting.
Most definitely. We're going to have to change your nickname to the Midget Polynesian. That's what. Coach, you're crazy. Oh, you kill me, bro.
He's pretty right, because I'm very small compared to the other girls at home.
Hey, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, I got a couple more questions, one or two more questions for, you know, the both of you, and then I'll let you get about your day because I know tomorrow's fight night and you got to possibly train or rest up. And, you know, honey, I think this is an opportunity of a lifetime for you. You know, if it goes like the first Phoenix Rising, I know you're going to be in the tournament. I wish you tremendous luck, my friend, because Invicta, as you've heard Coach talk about Carla, and you mentioned Chris Cyborg, you know, Tanya Evinger, and the list goes on and on and on. I've shot all their careers in Invicta and on the way up, and they all ended up in the UFC. So it goes to show you the tremendous value of what Shannon Knapp and Invicta brings to the sport. You know, I'm humbled that they gave you this opportunity because you truly deserve it. You know, especially being under Coach Oyama, it's an opportunity of a lifetime because you're going to go in there with the best training you possibly could ever get anywhere. You know, this is going to be a night. This is going to be probably one of the biggest pinnacle moments or steps in your life. Now when you sit back and you look over your shoulder, you know tomorrow night's fight night. You look back over your shoulder. Did you ever make a realization or surmise that you would get these type of opportunities in life?
I always knew in my head, in my mind, that it will happen one day, because for me there was no other, you know, option. But to be honest with you, I went through a lot of struggling, especially last year. It's been a long way and very hard way to get here today. And without Sam Wilson, I wouldn't be here today. This woman, I'm telling you, like, she's been helping so many female fighters in this sport. And, you know, me, she definitely, like, has been, like, my lucky star since I've been knowing her, because she got me this fight against Victoria in the Tough Enough promotion as an amateur. And then she's the one who actually put me in touch with Coach Oyama. And, you know, I know that she's been talking a lot with Shannon about me. So I think that's why I got this opportunity today, because of her mainly. And honestly, if I didn't have her, like, by my side to help me out, I think it could have been even harder. But, you know, that's why I am very grateful about everything I have today, being part of Team Oyama, training under Coach Oyama, being in the Invicta, because I know where I come from. And, you know, many people probably would never have the chance that I had. So I'm very grateful.
You're a mind reader, too. I mean, that's the next question I was going to ask you. You know, first of all, Sam wanted me to tell you, Coach Oyama, and you, honey, hello. And she's also tagged in this and listening to the show right now. But I was going to ask you about that. You know, Sam Wilson is a tremendous aspect of the sport. She's probably one of the truest people you're ever going to meet that wants to help create aspects and define people in this sport. You know what? You know, I know she persuaded you to come over here, persuaded you to pick up your dreams, and I mean, so that's truly got to mean a lot to you. You know, I was going to go there, and you stole my question. That's the first time I think that's ever happened, Coach. The fighter knew what I was going to ask next, and it kind of stymied me. But you know, Sam Wilson is a tremendous lady. You know, so if you had to give a statement of thanks to Sam Wilson for correlating you with Coach Oyama and Shannon Knapp and getting you an aspect over here, what would your words of thanks be to Sam Wilson?
Sam, you're the best. And you know, same thing. You know, she's part of these people who do things because she does it with her heart and her gut. And, you know, when people do things with their heart, like, they always succeed at what they're doing because they do it, you know, with the purest aspect of things. She's not expecting anything, you know, in return or anything. She's just doing it because she's good at it and she loves it. And I know that when she has a crush on a fighter, like, she's going to do her best to help them. So, you know, I'm one of those fighters she obviously had a crush on since she saw my first fight as an amateur. And since that, you know, she's been, like, just trying to help me the best as she can. So, Sam, seriously, you're the best, and I would never thank you enough for everything you've been doing for me.
Yeah. She's the most beautiful person in the world. I'll share a little secret before I ask Coach one more question. I was in a major car accident last winter, and my car, I was in an ice storm, and I was doing 35 miles an hour, and I hit a light pole, and I went off an 8-foot embankment in the middle of nowhere, and I went head-on with a tree. My car was totaled. I had to have 7 back surgeries and a couple other surgeries, and I'll tell you what, I don't like asking the sport for anything, but Sam said, Don, you need to, and if it wasn't for Sam Wilson, I would have lost my house. I wouldn't be driving the brand new car that I got in my driveway. I wouldn't be doing this show today. You know, Sam Wilson, man, you're one of a kind. And, Coach, I know you feel the same way about her, but if you had to put it in a statement what Sam Wilson means to you, what would you say it would be, Coach?
I think in fight sports and stuff, there's a lot of sharks. You know, you hate to admit that, but I've run into more shady people than any other aspect of sports, but it's always refreshing to run into somebody without really an angle, just somebody that wants to do something because they want to do it, not because they're trying to, like, exploit the kid or do something later, or they got something on the side or whatever. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, improving the rights of women or improving their lot in sports, but a lot of people just talk. You know, they never really do anything. It's kind of refreshing to see somebody actually do something. You know, you don't see her jabbering about doing something. She just does it. So I think it's a refreshing feeling to see somebody actually doing something about what she says she's going to do versus just talking and doing nothing. So she gets stuff done, man. That's what I think about Sam, is she gets things done. And that's what I respect about her, is that – you know, she wants to help people, and she does help people, not just talks about it, but she actually does it, which is refreshing to see in the fight game.
Yeah, it most definitely is. And I think that's what creates this, small 1% of the circle that we exist in, because I think Jacob Stitch-Duran says the best. We take away the relationships, the friendships, the true aspects from the sport. The rest of it, we can do whatever we want with it. But, Coach, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You truly have changed the sport just by your humility and your integrity and your beliefs. If you had to make a statement to the sport of gratitude, for the opportunities that it has given your fighters and you, what would that statement be, Coach?
I'm going to say, it's afforded me to do something that, that I enjoy doing. I mean, I don't enjoy every single aspect of it. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but when I look at a lot of my other friends and their occupations and stuff, at least I can say that this sport's given me the opportunity to do something for 20 some odd years, and hopefully a little bit longer. These guys don't kill me over here. something that I enjoy doing, and it also affords me the opportunity to give back to people, and obviously the more successful I am, more people I can pull along with me too, and hopefully give them some success in life as well. So it's been a good ride. It's been an interesting ride. It's been up and down, but it's definitely going pretty well right now, and I intend to keep it that way. And so I'm thankful for the sport. I'm thankful for the opportunity it's given me to change people's lives and to enjoy my life as well too, for good or for bad. So
that's a righteous statement. You're the reason why people like me and Sam Wilson and others of the sport exist. You set a fine example, and you lead by that example. And Coach, you truly humble me when you do come on the show, because I get tickled to death, because you're one of the best, not just in the sport, but being a human being overall. You have a tremendous sense of humor. You are serious when it's time to be serious.
Hey, you got to have a sense of humor, man, because you're not going to make it. She learned that right away.
Yeah, right?
You have a sense of humor, you're going to die. These guys will make fun of her accent, her clothes. I mean, these guys, they're all over you, man.
Yeah, they're assholes.
Yeah, they're assholes.
I love it.
Makes the fighter tougher, man. I mean, at the same time, I mean, if somebody else makes fun of her, they're going to beat that guy's ass. So it's different, but it's good. You got to have a sense of humor in this game, or you'll never make it, man. There's too many ups and downs, and there's too many setbacks not to be able to sit back and laugh about stuff. If you're that serious about everything you do, you're not going to be able to deal with the adversities that are going to come your way. And they're going to come your way, man. So, hey, you got to laugh a little bit, man. That's why I just post funny stuff on
them. Yeah, most definitely. You'll get this, but none of the rest of the world will get it. Only one other person will get this that's listening. But I had my day with that. With Ian, and I'm gonna leave it at that.
I was laughing. I tagged a bunch of guys in that feed because it was pretty funny to me. Yeah.
you got to lead by example, I guess.
you put me in place pretty good. I was laughing. I thought that was hilarious, actually.
Yeah, I had to, and he ended up blocking me, but. We're here for a different reason. I just wanted to throw that out there because I thought it was funny. So we all do have a sense of humor. Honey, thank you. Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, you didn't have to come on the show today with Coach, but you truly did. I've watched footage of you. You're a tremendous warrior. I can't wait to see what you look like now under Coach Oyama. The world is at your... Is it truly at your hands, and now it's time for you to create your destiny. Go out there and show the world who you truly are tomorrow night. Make Team Oyama proud, but most importantly, live your dreams.
Well, thank
truly
you for
live your dreams. What was that?
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show, you know, and giving me the opportunity to express myself about, you know, everything that's been happening to me for the past 6 months since I've been, like, with Coach Oyama, basically, you know. A lot happened, a lot. So, yeah, it was the opportunity to talk about it. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. The honor is all mine. You know, honey, I do things a little bit different on my show. I'm not your standard Wikipedia or Tapology show. So before we get to your sponsors or whatever, if you want to make a statement in your native language, because the link that I provided both of you, I archive, I never delete. You can go back 10 years from now and listen to it. It'll still be there. So if you want to give a statement out to French Polynesia in your native tongue, you're more than welcome to, my friend.
Okay, well, the only thing I would say is tapea tepari, and in Tahitian it means, you know, you have to keep strong in the mental so you can keep strong, you know, physically, like in the fight. So tapea tepari, you know, stay strong in the head.
Most definitely. Well, you know, Coach Oyama, it was truly an honor, brother. I can't wait to have you on, you know, the show again. Honey, go out there and shock the world tomorrow night. Live your dreams.
Thanks.
Enjoy every moment of it. I'm going to toss the mic to you if you have any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program. The floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, my Instagram is like tagged on Invicta Instagram, because if I spell it, people probably won't get it. But you know, anybody who wants to like follow me or support me, they can reach to me through Instagram. And I'd like to thank my main sponsor, you know, the Tahitian Air Company, Air Tahiti Nui, because they basically, without them, I wouldn't be able to come to the United States, because they let me fly for free, and they put me as an ambassador of their company. So I'm very proud, you know, and very honored. So huge thanks to them, and thanks to all the people in Team Oyama, even if some of them are assholes, because they made me better fighter. And, yeah, you know, especially asshole Alex Perez, because he's making my life a nightmare every day.
Oh, that's tremendous. Coach, is there any final words you'd like to add to the show before parting?
I'd like to shout out to my buddy, CBD company, Miss Mary Jane, making some good products out there. But if anything, man, I just like to tell people, like, you know what, if you want to do something, man, go out and do it. You know, you can sit there and talk about it, or you can post about it on Instagram and take pictures and put your stupid-ass Facebook post. You know, or just like, man, just put your nose down to the grindstone and get it done, man. I mean, this girl did it. We've had other girls before do it, other guys before do it, you know. I think today's day and age, everybody's so concerned about, like, talking about doing stuff. But nobody wants to do anything, you know. So for all you young people out there, stop occupying a park and carrying your dumbass signs, playing your stupid video games, and go make something of yourself. Like the generation before you did, and a generation before that one did, you know. It's called work ethic. And if you find it, you'll be surprised what you can accomplish with that work ethic. That's all
Amen.
I got to say.
Amen, Coach. You know, I'm 55 years old, and I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, I got a 34-year-old son who's entitled, and I kind of have to put the foot upside the butt a few times to get him going. But, honey.
Hey, send him to the gym. I'll unentitle him quick.
You know, I might just take you up on that.
No,
I really might. You know, that's something I might have to do, because like I said, I'm getting up in age, and 55 was a blink of an eye. 70, I don't even know. That's going to be a wink, I guess. But,
yeah,
honey, go out there.
Too,
yeah, bro, right? It's kind of crazy. Honey, go out there and show the
yeah.
world, my friend. You're a true inspiration,
yep.
and I love the story behind you, and you couldn't have a better team backing you. And I love the way Coach put it. They treat you like a little sister, because if somebody picks on you, they're going to pick on them, but yet they can pick on you. With that being said, best of luck tomorrow night, my friend. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
You
guys have a tremendous night. Have a good night, and God bless.
All right. There you go.
Bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Coach Colin Oyama and Hani Sphere Tahiti. I tell you what, I love her. I think she's going to be a tremendous aspect in the sport. I think she's going to dominate. You know, we're just going to have to wait till tomorrow night and find out. Tune into UFC Fight Pass. And if you're not in the Kansas City area, if you're in the Kansas City area, make sure you get out to Memorial Hall and pay Shannon Knapp a visit and get to see some tremendous fights. On that note, I think I'm going to bounce up out of here. I had a little fun on today's show. You know, much love to Sam Wilson and everybody in between. You know, that's what the show is about, sharing the real love of sport. And I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, to be quite honest with you, this is my passion, and I love it. So have a good night. God bless.